For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Harbaugh now heads to Los Angeles Chargers.
He wins everywhere. He wins, period.
Justin Herbert, he's a crown jewel.
Well, you guys better enjoy this.
Quick snap, Herbert to throw.
Has a man, touchdown.
The fans loved it.
You have to love what you're seeing on tape if you're a Chargers fan, especially for the future with Justin
Herbert. On the move, and throws, and touchdown.
We're going to be known as world champions. And we're going to do it or die trying. Don't let the powder blues fool you.
Who's got it better tonight? No!
Well, hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Charger Chat. I'm your co-host, Wool Dog, sitting with my buddy, Kev Huggin Duggan.
What's up, boys?
And Kyle, the coach, Duggan.
What's up, boys?
Boys.
All right. We're starting off like that. Okay. Folks, we got ourselves. It's a boys' night here.
It's a boys' night.
At the Charger Chat. We've got lots to talk about. And we've got a Craig experience and an Ask Bolt fam lined up for you. So let's waste no time. Start at the top. This just dropped today. Chargers showing some video of our beautiful quarterback, our leader, Justin Herbert, hurling a dodgeball because he won a charity dodgeball tournament in Eugene, Oregon. And I was expecting like, okay, maybe I'll see a little bit of athleticism, some dodging and stuff like that. No, he's throwing the ball as hard as he can.
He's putting holes in people with this shit. This is incredible.
I'm surprised that there's no like shots of people like in arm slings and going out on gurneys and stuff like that. Cause good Lord, he is hurling it hard.
He hasn't been able to be competitive in like 3 months or something. True. It's probably, he's just like, dude, I gotta get competitive right now. So he's throwing 100 mile per hour, dodgeballs.
Those poor old ladies at that charity dodgeball tournament.
That was so awesome about this.
They never saw it coming.
They didn't see it coming. What I love about this is they don't show you at the beginning of the video who he's throwing at. It could be anything.
Right.
It really could be anything.
Could be like the Girl Scout team from Dodgeball. The
yeah.
Movie.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, everybody. Let's have a good, friendly game of bam! Out. All right. So, yeah. Awesome. And hey. Just to see him throwing any ball right
now.
Yeah,
it's good.
That's nothing on his sign.
Nothing on his fingers.
Looks strong. Yeah.
That's a good sign. All right. And then this was also kind of an interesting little nugget that dropped earlier this week. Before Jim Harbaugh arrived, San Diego had won one game against its biggest rival, the University of Dayton. Since joining the Pioneer Football League in 1993.
Yeah.
Huge rivalry.
San Diego and Dayton.
Runs deep.
And Dayton, Ohio.
Harbaugh won his first matchup of 2004, 38-35, with a game-sealing interception by Bakhtiari, who dropped into coverage to pick off Dayton quarterback Brandon Staley. The Chargers' former coach who was fired in December and whom Harbaugh would replace.
That's a weird, like, Kevin
Small
Bacon.
World, yeah.
Yeah, that's some weird shit right there.
I don't know if he thought about that. He's like, one day, like, as soon as Staley got intercepted, he's like, one day I'm going to steal your job.
Yeah. No
steal that kid's job.
He's also, just like Justin, very competitive. 25 years later, I'm coming at you, bro.
I'm coming for that. So, yeah, that's just a small world. That's crazy that somebody was able to take up that.
I tried my hardest.
To find tape?
I went to YouTube and did my darndest to try and find it, and it's not on YouTube. So,
yeah. Well, if you know where that video is,
sometimes folks, the imagination's better than.
Oh, no doubt.
You know what actually happened.
No doubt.
Yeah, like I see him throwing a pick, and then Staley like runs and yells and screams in Jim Harbaugh's face, and they're like going at it almost type of thing for no reason. No, there's no reason for it, but in my head, that's what it is. And now this is like a little bit of like a Like, it's, I'm back. Legend. I gotcha.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I like your confrontational imagination. It's really.
Yeah. It makes it more fun that now he has the job. Because otherwise, I don't really know the. I think it's a weird connection, but it's not like a. Ah, I see. It's just kind of like a. That's.
I imagine them meeting each other at like the combine or something, and he goes up to shake his hand, and you know, Harbaugh's like, I'm sorry, we haven't met. He's like, oh, we've met. I remember.
That would be good.
Like one of those. And Harbaugh's like, yeah. Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
You know, one of those. Like even insult to injury on that one.
That's good. Yeah. A little power move. Good one. I don't remember. I like that. I don't think we've met.
Have we met?
No. We have.
Not again.
All right. And then very recently, the 2024 team report cards came out. This is interesting because, I mean, I think we talked about it last year, but I don't know that we've talked about it very much in years past. So the fact that they're making this public,
it's a new thing. Yeah.
It's a new thing.
So we're going to see this going forward, these team report cards. And for 2024, it wasn't very good for the Chargers as far as team report cards
go. I'll tell you one thing. We're better than the Chiefs.
Hey, another offseason win for the Chargers.
I'll tell you, we're at the bottom, but we're ahead of the Chiefs. So just take what we can get.
They rank everything from treatment of families, food cafeteria, nutritionist, locker room, training room, training staff, weight room, strength coaches, team travel, head coach, and ownership. They all get grades. And Chargers were near the bottom on a lot of those. We never got higher than 16 out of 32 for some of these. And that was just one of them. The rest of them are in like low 20s, dude, 30s.
team travel, you get an F. What are they like? Running to games, like
Greyhound bus,
drawn carriage. Yeah, geez, like who was it? The Buccaneers got an F in team travel. That's a tough look for an owner.
Yeah.
Maybe they're
for your own Uber.
Maybe probably. They're getting the Southwest plane as opposed to like the Delta.
Spirit.
You know, they're getting the Spirit
bags. Yeah,
exactly.
That's tough.
They have to pay for their check package.
Yeah, so not a great look, but. Again, on the positive side, because we saw this last year when the team report cards came out, Chargers have a new training facility coming in hot.
Right.
I'm looking at four of these right now that are going to be at the top as soon as the new facility's in.
Instant change.
Yeah.
So, and honestly, like some of these other things too, like with the coaching staff and the ownership, you know, all the other guys that we have on here, I feel like a lot of this is going to change for the Chargers real quick. We're going to go from being 30th to at least a top 10 in this team report card next year.
The Chiefs have a lot of F's on here. Their owner, they gave an F minus.
Yeah.
They hate that guy.
I heard a crazy story. So at the end of the last year, the owner promised to have a new like a locker room. And then when they showed up to start the year this year, they just had new chairs. They weren't stools anymore. They were chairs. And they asked him why. He's like, well, you guys played so deep into the year that we didn't have enough time to do the renovations. That was his excuse for not getting the shit done. It's like, it's your fault you're not getting it. So that's,
did this to yourself.
I heard that on YouTube today. I was like, that is funny as shit. So that's,
wow.
They hate him. He's an F minus.
Yeah.
Also, your nutrition and dietitian in Kansas City obviously isn't going to be good.
No,
just barbecue. Pumping brisket and burgers. Like,
yeah,
you don't dock them on that. That's not fair. That's just culture.
Everything's fried, barbecue on tap.
Yeah,
they still won a Super Bowl with the F.
I know that's what's crazy. It's like clearly this doesn't correlate to winning a Super Bowl.
Yeah, who's the top?
They hate their job, and their coach is just still so good that they win the Super Bowl.
Yeah, head coach still got an A+. They still love that.
Of course.
And Dolphins is one, but I think that has a lot to do with the fact these guys don't pay like income state tax. I think they're just like really happy because they're making extra money. Like, you know what? A for you, Dolphins. You can have A on everything.
Well,
As you can tell, I just did my taxes. So I'm in the mindset of doing taxes. My apologies. Back to your regular scheduled programming.
Yeah, I think, I think the Chargers are going to have a huge leap next year in this team report card. Book it.
Hell yeah.
And then what else happened? We talked about it last episode is the combine. The combine finally came, the underwear Olympics, as we talk about on here. And boy, they really like showing Jim Harbaugh out in the stands, didn't they?
Whenever they had a chance, dude, they showed him in the boot, in the box, out in the stands with
holding
the
his stopwatch. He's like looking up at the clock and hitting.
That is funny. That's like, what? You don't trust the times?
I've got my own system.
Maybe he's doing the 10-yard split, and that's why he wanted, I don't know. I feel like they probably get the most ridiculously accurate numbers from the NFL. But
yeah, because they're running with like the things, they're tracking shit in their shoulder,
yeah,
too.
Chips. So
they're
getting, he's like, he doesn't.
He's old school football, dude. He's old school
Remember we heard the story about in Seattle? He thought that they were tapping their rooms. He's like, they're giving me faulty information at the draft. I'm going to do it myself.
Yeah. I love it so much.
Yeah. So good to see him there. And then during the combine, obviously we saw guys running around, lifting weights, jumping and all that stuff. But they also talked to some of these players. And there's some quotes here from some of those ones that we've been looking at for the Chargers, starting with Brock Bowers. I met with the Chargers the other night. Me and Coach Harbaugh talked about when we played them, talking about Michigan in 2021, when he was recruiting me. It was cool to see him again and talk to him. Always nice. And then on possibly joining the Chargers, Brock Bowers says, it would be awesome. I think it would be great fit for playing for Coach Harbaugh and playing with Justin Herbert.
Yeah.
Sounds great.
Yeah. It would be awesome.
Sign him up.
Whoever gets drafted.
Don't threaten me with a good time. Come on.
Yeah. I'm
not a great fit for Brock.
Yeah.
Yeah, really.
I'm a little worried about Brock. I was so high on Brock, and then I started doing some mocks and started looking at some stuff. Like, it's going to be hard if you don't draft him at 5. And if you think he's worth it at 5, it's not going to be easy to get him if you trade back. I don't think it's going to be. So I don't know. I'm a little nervous about that option for us in the first round for our first pick.
But you still wouldn't take him at 5.
I don't think so.
Yeah.
I'm trading back.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
The more you, like, I started doing some mocks, like, the more you trade back, dude, you are just the second, third, and fourth round, like, you're getting pretty much whatever you want. It's pretty crazy. So I think they need to trade back to, like, anywhere between 8 and 13. You're still getting really good value. You get a tackle, you get all kinds of stuff. But that's a question for another time. Brock Bowers rules.
And then Joe Alt, they also talked to him, said, I did meet with the Chargers. It was a great interview. I was really glad to get to meet Coach Harbaugh. For me, I didn't get recruited by Michigan, but getting to meet him on that level was very cool. He was a great guy, and I really enjoyed the interview. Solid.
Hell yeah.
Solid choice. I mean, that's another guy that people are saying that we might be getting.
That's a 5.
5, yeah.
Yeah.
Joe Alt could be that pick.
Big time.
And then there's a tweet here from JD. Who said Ohio State star wide receiver Marvin Harrison Jr. was recently asked his top 3 quarterbacks he would want to play for in the NFL. He said, my 3 guys got to be Justin Herbert, Josh Allen, and CJ Stroud.
You know who's not on that list?
Who?
Patrick Mahomes.
Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
Also Russell Wilson, because he's not even on a team anymore.
That's right. Yeah.
That
just dropped today.
Russell they Wilson hate him so much they're willing to take the $82 million cap hit. Yeah. That is, yep. It was the stat you sent us where it's like twice as much as the highest hit anybody's ever taken.
Yeah.
And they gave up 2 firsts, 2 seconds. So that was the worst trade of NFL history.
A swing and a miss.
Yeah. Huge swing and a miss. So you love to see that. And then Caleb Williams, when Caleb Williams, USC quarterback, was asked from previous quarterbacks, whose toughness would he want? He said, and I'll add this without hesitation, Phillip Rivers.
Yep.
Smart guy.
Very smart.
I like this guy.
We don't need this guy. But I like this guy.
But I like
guy him. Knows ball.
Yeah, knows ball.
Well, what we know over here is our Patreon, patreon.com/chargerchat, where we've got tons of funny videos and behind the scenes clips and just good times. And we also have a new Patreon member to finally shout out. And I'm talking about Ian Davis.
Welcome to the party, pal.
Thank you, buddy, for joining. And if you don't want to go to Patreon, that's totally fine. You can go on over to one of our regular website, chargerchat.com. Check out all the cool stuff we got over there, t-shirts, hoodies, and stickers. You can chat it up with other Charger Chatteteers in the member section and ask questions and ask Bolt Fam. So go check out chargerchat.com.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
All right, gang, it's time to go on to the next segment. You know them? Ooh, you love them. Ooh. It's a great experience.
Oh, yeah.
Come on in, man. Kick your feet up.
Craig Experience. Hello there.
Make yourself at home. Got some stuff to talk about, right? Moving on.
Yo, I feel very confident in saying that as a 40-year-old man, the entire draft experience, the full cycle, when it comes to looking through prospects, everything leading up to Thursday throughout the weekend, it's now taken over the experience of what Christmas Day used to be for me as a kid. And I make no apologies about it because, as many of you out there are, like myself, a draft junkie, football nerd, and we live for this stuff. This year feels a little bit different, though, because we always get excited for it year in and year out, adding new blood to the team. You develop these emotional connections to players, and I'll just speak for myself, and you end up being let down more often than not because they go to teams, not the Chargers. And then sometimes those teams happen to be organizations that you don't care for very much. But I'll speak to one person specifically that has me feeling a little bit giddier this year, and that's Joe Hortiz, because he comes from an organization in the Baltimore Ravens that I've always admired regarding the way that they build their teams out. They're always very deep and super talented, and they have a tendency to select players that I love each draft cycle. Feels good now to know that we're going to have a little bit of that sprinkled over into the Los Angeles Chargers organization, and that he probably is going to bring over some of that mentality. So again, this year feels different, and I'm looking forward to it more so than any other. Outside of just the obvious with Jim Harbaugh and everything that comes along with him and the new coaching staff, the Joe Hortiz hire is one of my favorites because if you look back, he was my number one GM candidate for the exact reason that I just spoke to. Where he came from. So with that being said, on this episode of the Craig Experience, we're going to chat through some prospects. Well, one in particular this week. And as the weeks go by, we'll talk about some others. But what's going to set it apart from what you're probably expecting is I'm not going to talk about the obvious names. I'm going to dig a little bit deeper and discuss some guys that you may or may not have heard of, but that I think will be perfect fits for the Chargers. So let's get into it. CC gang, the biggest of salutes, and to the rest of the Bolt fam, what is going on? It's your guy Craig in Texas, and welcome to this first draft edition of the Craig Experience. So, the previous regime left behind some not so nice parting gifts with regard to the Chargers roster. We're talking about everything from having spots that need to be filled with starting players and then quality depth behind them and also in other positions. And let's also mention underdeveloped players from drafts past. I'm sure Jim Harbaugh and Joe Hortiz are going to come in and work their magic, but they're also going to have to hit on some of these dudes right out of the gate. And I have confidence that they will. But there's one spot in particular that the Chargers just can't seem to get right at. This last year, someone emerged and played much better, but they were actually in the last year of their deal, talking about Alohi Gilman, which also tells you what position I'm referencing here. But again, we don't know what's going to happen moving forward. I'm not sure Alohi's going to be brought back. I think he's a flying player. I also feel like he should be a part of a rotation. The Chargers run more three safety sets. I'd be perfectly fine with him being a part of that. But we're talking about a primary deep safety to play alongside Derwin James. Because, man, I'm sorry. I just feel for DJ. I thought Nasir Adderley was going to be the fix-all. Didn't work out. And they drafted JT Woods. Still don't know what JT is. And last year he was dealing with some sort of weird illness that I don't think we ever got to the bottom of. Probably never will. But he still needs to be developed. But Derwin's been asked to do a lot. And just because someone can do something doesn't necessarily mean that they should. I'm not sure if you guys have checked out Jesse Minter's interview with Haley Elwood. But dude said something very specific with regard to Derwin, and that he acknowledged that he can do a lot, but that's probably not the best way to utilize him. I don't think that was necessarily a shot at Brandon Staley, but I don't think it was a coincidence either. With that in mind, and interestingly enough, you guys just watched the combine, so you might be familiar with this name because of it, because he performed quite well. It may be a name that you didn't know before then. But someone that I have my eye on that I'm really, really interested in, who was in the range of maybe the fourth round, might see him in that third round range now. Texas Tech Raider, Red Raider. So, yeah, Patrick Mahomes is an alma mater. Do with that what you will. Dadrian Taylor Demerson. Now, before I get started, I know some of you guys are going to be a bit gun shy about this because it's the Big 12. I referenced JT Woods earlier. We know they ain't known for defense, but this dude is different. I compared him a little to someone who I just found out today is actually a good buddy of his. So small world. Jalen Petrie. Second round draft pick of the Houston Texans 2 years ago. Play safety. He's more of a star and a box guy. Causes a lot of havoc in that area. But they play with a very similar temperament. They're also like almost the exact same size. Like 5'11", 200-ish pounds. So it's really funny. They're buddies. They play similarly. They're like the same size. Just, I guess, kismet. It's the way things worked out. But Demerson is more of a rangy free safety. Now he has played some in the box, but mostly in the slot and up high as a split safety or single high guy. He's produced pretty well over 3 years at Texas Tech. And when I say he's not just your average free safety, he has a little bit of like a Napoleon complex on the field. So, I mean, he's not tiny. Nearly 200 pounds is not small, but by NFL standards, 5'11", 200 isn't huge. He comes downhill with some bad intentions. I mean, when he triggers, he does not hesitate and he doesn't care what size you are. He's probably trying to knock your head off. And there are several instances on tape when this happens. But not just that. He's got the instincts to play on the deep end and he's got really good ball skills. It's almost the perfect complement to me to a player like Derwin. DJ gets to roam around in the box, create havoc there. You've got somebody who can make DJ right on the inside, on the back end, to create some turnovers with some errant throws or someone who can just kind of use his ability and athleticism to bait QBs into bad throws and get turnovers that way. But guys like him, the instinctual rangy playmakers, guys that see the entire field, like those third level disruptors, I call them wide lens guys because you want them on the back end being able to use those instincts and athleticism to scan the whole field and make a QB think twice about throwing a ball in a certain area, which gives all of your front an extra tick or two to get home, create some more pressure that way or a sack, or it's just an invaluable tool to have in the defense. Now, here's a little background on a dude, because he was actually the 5A, it's the classification, by the way, state player of the year in Oklahoma in high school, but as a running back. So you know that he's accustomed to being physical. That translates over to the safety position. And he was actually recruited by Texas Tech as a safety. So he wasn't playing the position until he got to college. And honestly, he wasn't all that interested in it. But man, when I say this is the type of player that I think complements Derwin to a T and kind of gives you a little bit, and I'm not calling him Earl Thomas, so look, if you want to clip this up and use it against me later on, fine, but I'm saying this up front, I don't think he's Earl Thomas, but he plays a lot in that same fashion. Again, same mentality. You remember Earl. Earl was afraid of nothing. He was taking on any offensive player. I mean, we're talking about even engaging in blocks with offensive linemen, and you know, maybe he loses 9 times out of 10, but it won't be because of lack of effort. It'll be because he's giving up 100 pounds or so to a guy. Demerson has that same mindset at the position. And so I would really like to see someone like him, maybe the Chargers take a flyer on, and I'm saying a flyer, but I mean, you don't say that with like earlier round draft picks. And to me, the third round would be, at this point, I'm not going to say it's a stretch for him. I wouldn't. I would take Deidrian Taylor-Demerson in the third round because of what I think he could mean to the defense. But I'm not sure how the Chargers would view him. I would say right now the league probably sees him as like a fourth round prospect. Depending on where you look, he's ranked all over the place. But personally, from what I've seen on tape, he has the opportunity to be a really good player. He's just going to have to get with the proper coaching staff, because with the good, there is some bad. He runs hot, which is great when it works. But when he guesses wrong, it's clear and obvious. Sometimes he'll overrun plays, miss some tackles. I mean, the dude had 18 missed tackles in 2022. He did cut that in half in 23 down to 9. But I mean, you know, the bar was basically in hell. So there was some improvement there. And you can trick him with your eyes if you're a more nuanced quarterback who understands how to freeze safeties to allow like that extra second for those longer development routes to get open, those double moves, things of that nature. But those things can be fixed with a proper coaching staff, which is who I have faith in now. The Chargers have now under Jesse Minter and the positional coaches they've brought in. So a player like this that you can get without having to spend super high draft capital, you can develop and can be a long-term solution next to Derwin. You got to do it. You can find it, and you don't have to spend a first or second round pick to do it. So to me, there's a lot of value there. I think he's, again, in the right system, under the right coaching, going to be a tremendous asset to someone's defense. Why not LA's? I'm talking about the Chargers, not the Rams. I know we have to be specific here. So next week, we'll move on to another position, another player, but this is my guy this week, somebody that you should feel free to check out, and let me know what you think about him in the comments. Hit me up. You know where to find me on Twitter, TOP_FLYT3, and also check me out on the Lightning Round podcast. We're actually doing our weekly prospect breakdowns, so come through over there as well. But until the next time, y'all take it easy. Happy hunting out there. If you're looking into prospects as well, feel free to shoot me some of your faves. We can chop it up about them. But until the next time, y'all take it easy. Be cool. And okay. Love you. Bye.
Well, there you go, folks. Another awesome Craig experience. Craig, thank you. That is certainly a name, Craig, that I have not heard of before. But you make a lot of good points as far as why we would bring him in, especially if Alohi isn't in that position next year. So now that we've got Jesse Minter and that, like you said, that talk of, you know, wanting to unlock Derwin James and the full potential and what he can do, or unleash him, you know, that's an exciting prospect, especially for all the great plays we've seen Derwin do in the past.
Yeah. And I'm also interested what they're going to do with the guys that are on the roster still, because JT Woods, we just drafted him. So right. Can they make something out of him? Because he's, who knows what that can be, or you have to do a full reset and do something like this. So
yeah,
I'm really curious to see how they're going to attack, especially the secondary of our defense, and what decisions they're going to make.
Yeah, so much. Every corner, I mean, Zonk is kind of your only guy right now. Yeah,
that's it.
And then safety too. Derwin is the only one under contract. I mean, you can't, JT Woods didn't even play last year, and I feel like we had no safety all. Depth.
I think he played a little bit, but it was like, not
very
memorable.
Sporadic. Not
yeah, like
guy.
Craig said, that some weird illness that just kept
him down,
kept lingering with him, and he didn't know what it was. So, that's exciting, Craig. That's somebody that we're definitely, when I see that name come up, and if it is with the Chargers, I'm gonna be thinking of you, buddy.
That's right.
So, thank you, Craig, for another awesome one. and looking forward to all the future prospects we're going to hear about from you. But now, folks, it's time to go on to the next segment. I'm talking about Ask Bolt Fam.
Time to put your money where your mouth is.
Hi, guys.
Go jam a thumb up his bottle. That's what you do.
I wet myself in excitement.
Both are hungry.
Your thoughts are like totally appreciated.
Catch you later, dude.
Okay, love you, boy.
That's right, folks. Time for Ask Bolt Fam, and we start at the top with Bolt Gang member who asked the question. After watching all the wide receivers at the Combine, has your perception of Neighbors, MHJ, and Odunze at number 5 changed? Would it be smart to move down in the draft, take Bowers, then back up in the draft for a wide receiver like Worthy, Coleman, Thomas Jr., essentially taking a tight end wide receiver instead of just a wide receiver? Context. Is a singular talent like MHJ or Malik Neighbors worth more than Bowers plus Worthy or Thomas Jr.?
I have some thoughts.
Oh.
But I don't know. Well, I'm always the first one to go. So if you guys want to go for it. I'll jump in afterwards.
I mean, it makes sense. I mean, is the wide receiver like Neighbors or MHJ or even Odunze, are they that huge of an impact that getting them over a tight end plus a lesser wide receiver, is that worth more?
And it's, yeah, but it, you could go either way too, because what if you do wide receiver in the first, you trade back in the second round and you pick up an extra third, and then you have opportunities. Like Kev just did a mock draft where he got Cade Stover out of Ohio State in the third round. So it's like, or you still have Jatavion Sanders. So there's other tight ends in the draft. Brock Bowers is not the only guy. Right. So if you have an opportunity to get Marvin Harrison, who is incredible, and like you watch his highlight film, he just dominates games in one of the best conferences in football on the hot, biggest stages. Like he's just that guy. So you can get that. Yeah, I get it. Getting in Brock Bowers, but you don't put Marvin Harrison in the same situation as Xavier Worthy. They're not in the same class. They're not.
Right.
Xavier Worthy is a good speedster, but he's not a dominant take over the game franchise wide receiver that you're going to be
just
paying.
Straight speed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's very different. So I guess you have to decide what you think the bigger drop off is between Brock Bowers and some of these other tight ends and Marvin Harrison and those receivers. So as long as you're addressing the issues that we think are in the give me Marvin Harrison and then go pick up Hunter Henry off the Patriots. There's so many ways to maneuver this roster. So,
right.
Yeah, that would be smart. That would be great. But I think there's just so many ways to, I was going to say skin a cat, but then I looked right at Wooly and I was going to say,
don't skin no cats.
I would never skin a cat.
I'm sorry. But you said it.
He said he would skin a cat.
Betty. So I have a philosophy on this that I've kind of set for myself now after looking at this and spending time on it. If Marvin Harrison Jr. is there at 5, you take him at 5. Outside of that, trade back. I don't think what you're going to get for Neighbors or Odunze is worth the five. I think if you can go back, and it's going to depend on where Bowers falls to. Like a lot of the stuff I'm seeing, he's not making it out of 10 for a lot of these teams because he's just a freak wide receiver that plays end. So I think you can move back, and then I want to tackle, dude. So that's just where I'm at in my brain. But then there's guys in that third and fourth round, they're going to be good players. Like Troy Franklin was a guy I was looking at from Oregon, or I don't know how to pronounce his first name. It's Adonai Mitchell, wide receiver. He's fast as shit. Like there's guys in the third and fourth round that I think we have our wide receiver one. You know what I mean? Right. I don't think we need to invest. If MHJ is there, do it because that's generational. And I think after that, move back, make your team better.
All right. Solid advice. There you go. Bolt Gang member, thank you for asking the question. Let's move on now to Daryl21, who asked the question.
My guys, how the hell are you?
as we gear up for the March 13th deadline for cap cuts and possible restructures, we're all over this combine. Hoo-ha. As I sit here checking things out, I begin thinking of my questions for the week. Number one, Hoof, with all the dream prospects that we're hoping for, don't we all feel that no matter who we draft, there's a certain newfound confidence that Harbaugh and Ortiz will select players that will suit our team much better than Tommy T. Number two. And what one player that many aren't talking about that much is your nugget? Mine would be Tavondre Sweat, a freaking monster. Oh, I feel good about so many players in this year's draft that no matter who we select, we're going to be in great shape because of who's in charge. Yes, the pun is intended. Hoo-ha. Can't wait for the next episode, guys. Oh, Caleb, you bye.
Yeah, there's newfound confidence until they give us a reason not to have confidence in them. So This is such a new thing now. It's like, yeah, this is going to be great because it's going to be different.
And like we've seen, like, he has been basically recruiting these guys for the last 4 years. So, like, all the freshmen that are going into college right now, he's recruited all these players all over the country. Right. So he has the best chance of picking the right guys because he's done 10 times the research that a lot of these scouts have been able to do, because he's gone. And if you've heard about him, he goes to these people's houses, meets their parents, has a sleepover, has drinks milk and steak and watches, you know, Masked Singer or whatever. Like,
right.
He just has a better insight onto these guys. So I have a thought of what I want, but I'm still in the mindset of Tom Telesco. So, like, whatever they decide to do, I'm in. Like, I'm so in because they're professionals. I am not. Want to reiterate, I'm not a professional at this.
Who's got insight better than Jim?
Nobody.
And then on a player that nobody's really talking about, or not many people are talking about, you've been mock drafting like crazy, Kevin. Do you have somebody that you're like, ooh,
It's, I don't know. I'm just, as you guys know how I feel about our right tackle situation.
What?
And I would never say it to his face because I'm.
Do tell.
I'm not a fan of Trey Pipkins. I think that's just what that is. And I'm ready to protect my favorite player and Justin Herbert.
Yes.
And we got to get better at the run too. So it's not really like a sleeper or somebody deep around, but like Talese Fuaga, the right tackle from Oregon State, guy's a freak. Like, watching his combine, watching, like, he is like one of the best run blockers that there is right now. So he didn't give up one. He played 3 years as a starter, didn't give up one sack the entire time he played there. So those numbers are the ones that are like, oh, okay, I can easily translate to protecting Justin Herbert. So that's a guy that I am, if we traded deep, you know, traded back into the first round and got a whole bunch of second and third, I don't even know what you're going to get, that would be a guy I'd be like, okay, that sounds good. I'll have that.
Like it. All right.
So the kind of a not talked about player, this is one that I looked at after the Senior Bowl, because he was playing every position on the offensive line.
And I know who you're going to say.
As we add depth, like, we need that right tackle. I agree with that. But I think our starters are, I take that back. We need a center too. But this is a guy that I think we can get later in the draft. And he adds a lot of positional value, being able to play guard and center. With Will Clapp being gone, with Corey Linza being gone, you're going to need more than one center in this offseason. So give me a little Tanner Bertolini.
Bertolini. I knew that's what you were going to say. Yeah, he's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, and then I love the mullet one. Feeney wasn't the best football player, but man, he was fun. Just the character guy with the mullet on the offensive line is a good thing. And he ran the fastest 40 of all the. So I'm not pumped
when he finished it too. He's like, woo-hoo!
I'm not saying that's it was why awesome. You draft him, but after having watched film and watched a little bit of him in the Senior Bowl, and then you add that on top of it, that the guy's an athletic. He's an athletic guy. He can scoot, he can get down there. And I think that's just that's going to be a later in the draft pick, but kind of a no-name.
Fifth, sixth round.
If Bertolini. It happened, that'd be sweet. Yeah, Bertolini.
I like it. Some great names, some possible people to look at. So there you go. Daryl, 21, thank you, buddy, for asking the question. Let's move it on now to Andrew Gordon, who asked the question.
Okay, hear me out. Blockbuster trade with the Vikings. We trade ones and we get Justin Jefferson. They can draft J.J. McCarthy, Harbaugh's plan all along. Diabolical mastermind plan. FTR, FTC, FTB, K-Love you, bye.
I think they just announced he's going to make $30 million a year.
Who, JJ?
Yeah, probably more than that, yeah.
Yeah. Like,
wait,
so,
which JJ? I mean, Justin Jefferson?
Justin Jefferson. Okay. Justin Jefferson. So it sounds exciting. There's no way we could afford him, unfortunately. No.
Yeah, I mean, if you take him, that means of those four names that we've been talking about all offseason, you're probably going to lose two, if not three, of those guys just to pay for him.
It'd be fun, but I just don't think it's in the cards. But it made me start thinking of, like, if you did, like, we saw, because usually you just get trades within the rounds, right? Mm-hmm. I'd be interested to see some trades with players. Like, sure. If there's some players that they target on another team that we can get, like, we switch in the first round, we get the player there first and, like, a third with that awesome player. Like, I'm interested to see if they're going to shake it up and do anything unique like that.
Could be fun. I like it.
Could be fun.
Could be good times.
Color me interested. There you go. Andrew Gordon, thank you for asking the question. Let's move it on now to Kyle T, who asked the question.
Hey, guys. So I think at this point, it's safe to say we're trading back. That being the case, I've heard some suggestions. We might actually trade back with the Faders or Broncos. Maybe it's just me, but it's got to be a thank you for being so stupid offer to trade back in the division. Like a 25 and 26 first, 24, 26 second, and maybe more. Something that they're basically hamstringing themselves. What do you think?
It's possible. I saw, I think the Raiders are potentially looking to trade up into that fifth spot.
Yeah, they need a quarterback.
Yeah.
Bad.
If we did it, there would definitely need to be an asshole tax. Like, there'd be extra shit.
You get a cherry on top. Yeah.
Yeah. You guys are all assholes and we're taxing your ass.
Yeah. Oh, you want this pick? It's going to cost you a little bit. Something.
What's it worth to you?
Yeah. Hey, Tommy T.
Yeah.
Get over here.
Give me a little kisses. Give me a kiss.
Daddy. Give me a kiss. Call me daddy.
Get on your knees and tell me you love me.
You want
I love you.
I love you.
Yeah. No, it's if you trade any time there's a trade within a division, ugh, regardless of whether it's AFC West or otherwise, you put them over the barrel as much as you can.
I would go so petty on this. Like, I'm not giving it to anyone in the AFC West. Yeah. There's no way we're making them better.
Yeah, you just add ridiculous stipulations. Like, you also have to tweet that we're your daddy and that you'll never be as good as us. And, like, just start adding on all these ridiculous
Cut Jerry Tillery right now. Make him work in the concession stand during
opposite.
Games.
Opposite. You have to pay him $20 million here.
Yeah. Sign him to the highest contract. Hillary,
5 years, five years, $100 million for your D tackle. If you want the five, deal, you're going to have to do it.
Clock's ticking, Tommy. What's it going to be?
It's going to be. Let's go. Ticking, Tommy.
Ninja this, Tommy.
Ninja your way out of this bag. All right.
Well, wow, the tables have turned in the last 6 months.
Oh, yeah. Well, as soon as anybody goes to an opponent, you're dead to me. Sorry.
You've become Beverly Hills Ninja. You went from, like, a Jackie Chan to Chris Farley real fast.
Yeah.
Big time. So there you go. Kyle T, thank you for asking the question. Let's move it on now to Zach Shelton.
Zach.
Who asked the question? So, this team has had many different catchphrases, including ball gang or dump bang and any squad, any place. We even have a new one with don't let the powder blues fool ya. So, do you have a favorite Chargers catchphrase that either was mentioned or do you have a different one? All right. Well, we've had this come up in the past when we've had some good catchphrases. So go ahead there, Kevin.
I'm going to go back to the 70s, late 70s, early 80s. Charger power.
Charger power?
Charger power. My wife has a shirt from the era, and it's just a sick-ass Charger Bolt helmet, and it says Charger power.
Nice.
It's a yellow, it's goldish yellow shirt. It's freaking awesome. Charger power, final answer for me.
Deep cut.
Charger power. Yeah. Power.
All right. Do you have one, Kyle?
Yeah. I think it's just like a player that had a catchphrase.
Mm-hmm.
And Sean Merriman's lights out is it's an all-time great. Yeah. But all those other ones that you said were really good. Any squad, any place is fun. We still
We use it on the podcast. That's that good. Far as catchphrases though, I wouldn't say this was a team catchphrase, kind of like yours, Kyle, but if there was ever something that was more often quoted from this guy than anybody else, it would be the dadgummit from Philip Rivers,
because
you would throw dadgummits out left and right, and if you threw out a dadgummit, you knew exactly who you were talking about.
Yeah.
So, I like dadgummit.
I have an honorable mention, but it's not really a team, but it's like a commentator. A commentator said this. I think it was a preseason game. You sent this to me.
Okay.
It was,
I know exactly.
He was dicked. It's not pertaining to this question, but it's an honorable mention.
Honorable mention, yes. Spiro Dedes.
Spiro Dedes with the he was dicked.
Wasn't that on our intro to our show
was.
For a while?
Like season one, I think.
Yeah, early on.
And he was dicked.
Yeah.
So, all right. Well, there you go, Zach. Thank you for asking the question. If you guys have different catchphrases that you enjoy, put it down in the comments.
Yeah.
I need a smile. I need a laugh. So let's move it on now to Sam.
Certified Fresh.
Who asked the question? Has moving to the LA market improved profits for Spanos? If so, is that why he's finally willing to go big on a coach, staff, facilities, and hopefully go big free agency? Want to know?
I love him.
All right. Well, is he rolling in the money?
I just saw a graphic today that they posted. I can't remember where I saw it, but they have like the top 90 sports franchises, right? Mm-hmm. And we're the 30th.
Oh,
so wow. We're
up there.
We're up there. We're ahead of the Chiefs. We're ahead of some of these other teams. So clearly that happened because of the move to Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that money is because of moving to LA. It's just a reality. Like number 90, number 96 out of the top 100 is the San Diego Padres. That's because we're in San Diego. They're always sold out. They're always, they're the Padres. They're like huge in San Diego.
Right.
But they're the 90th in terms of value. So I think it's just the fact that you're in LA, and that's why they ended up moving up there. And look what's happening now. They have some money to throw around, a little bit more than they did previously.
I mean, it makes sense. Yeah. I mean, we're seeing so many coaching hires. We're seeing more coaching hires on this staff than we have in quite some time. So it would make sense that, it's like, all right, well, we got some money in savings, so let's splurge. Let's have some fun.
I mean, I'm trying to think of what would be the other, like, what's the other avenue as to, or explanation as to why they're doing
why Justin they're Herbert, money. But not that, not like an extra billion Rivers. Dollar.
Right.
Yeah.
No, they had Phil. Like, it's not, that's the only explanation as to why they're spending a little, it seems as though they're spending more money. I mean, the facilities in San Diego were not spectacular.
No.
Location wasn't great. They weren't state of the art. They've now gone and done that. And I think that's the only thing that's obvious that you could point to as to the reason why.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, all signs point to yes there, Sam. Thank you for asking the question. Let's move it on now to Marco DeLeo.
Let's go. Certified Fresh.
That's the question. Okay, guys, let's mix it up a little. If you had the opportunity to spend an hour with one of these three players, Rivers, Tomlinson, or Gates, you can ask any questions and they will answer. Who do you pick and why? Oh, and what would be the one question you would definitely ask? Okay, love you, bye.
Should we do a on three thing?
I think we're all going to pick the same one, right?
I think we're going to
pick that's what we said last time.
All right, on three.
I think I know who you're going to pick, Kyle, and I don't think it's going to be the same as Kevin and I.
But okay, let's see. We don't know.
Let's see. I'm right, curious. Okay.
Here we go.
Count of three. One, two, three.
Rivers.
Philip Rivers. Okay, we all are on the same page. Yeah, all right.
Obvious. That's all Daggummit.
Daggummit,
right.
So, all right. So, we're all picking Philip Rivers. Nothing against Tomlinson or Gates, but
no,
if there's somebody that's great. More entertaining to talk
yeah,
to.
Yeah, I think his would be the most fun conversation of all yeah. three.
Yeah, you're going to get an animated response or a very devoted response, I think, from Phil. Than
he's just like looser. He's like off the cuff yeah. a little more. I interviewed Antonio Gates. He was awesome, but it was a little, he was more subdued and calm and cool.
Yeah.
LT is LT. He's a legend, but I think yeah. Phil would be the funnest to talk to.
Phil would be the funnest to talk to. And if we had to think of a question to ask Phil that he has to answer,
I would say, what is the most embarrassing story of Nick Hardwick? So that way I can use that question, hopefully, when I get him on for an interview to Ooh. Ask him the embarrassing thing that only Philip Rivers knows.
Wow. Care to comment, Nick?
Care to comment? Yeah. You got 2 cents? I'll take them.
That's good. I like that. I would just want to hear him talk. I would just want to hear him tell me, like, just tell me some behind the scenes.
Read me stuff. Lord of the Rings.
No, not that. I would just
12
want to hear,
hours later.
I just want to hear all the stories of all the shenanigans they got into, all the, you know, the very rare few times that he cursed, you know, just like, just tell me about those stories, dude. I just want to hear them.
Yeah. I think I would ask him, this is off the record. So that he doesn't like it doesn't it can be
oh, okay
it can be like
just for
I
you
want the, I want an honest answer yeah because he has to answer but I want it to be honest and it's like why do you think you guys never won a Super Bowl what's like the explanation behind all that talent like in your opinion how come you couldn't get over the hump and figure out a way to win it all because as a fan it's just like wait what we had the number one offense number one defense and.
Still couldn't
even
take it.
14-2 and like dominant LaDainian Tomlinson. Like, how do we not get this done?
Yeah.
So I don't want to hear like in his opinion why it didn't happen.
Mm-hmm. Those are all
and then
questions.
You can't tell anyone after you know that. How hard is That's that going to be? You're just going to be able to sit
no,
there and hold on to that.
Yeah, I feel like I would. Yeah. Well, I think I just
it'd
I
be
just
a bond
hear,
you would have.
You that. Feel like you would.
It's not necessarily like an answer. But like,
it's an opinion.
He doesn't know exactly. It's just his opinion right. on it. I just yeah. want to hear like, what was he thinking all those years of like, why can't we get this done? Dang or God. If he has like a very like, this is why I know exactly why.
Yeah,
it'd be
I'll tell you.
Yeah.
All right.
Too much cussing in the locker room.
Yeah.
Potty mouse.
Yeah. Not enough dadgummits. Shoot, horse mess. All right. Marco. DeLeo, thank
Let's
you.
Let's go, certified fresh. And I just got to say, because it's an inside joke, but we've been saying his name wrong for about 3 years, and he finally told us to properly say his name. So we got to give him a shout out. Much appreciation for bearing with us for the last couple of years and
absolutely
ruining your name.
Hey, guys, they're going to say my name on the show. Who's Marco Dalio?
DeLeo. DeLeo sounds cooler, too.
Way better. There you go, Marco. Thank you for asking the question. Let's move it on now to Jim Harbaugh's burner account. Who asked the question?
Sup, putas? Let's get something straight. I love the Chargers, and I love riding waves, bro. Catch me at a game, at a liquor store, or just catch me outside, bro. Or maybe come holler at me at the local pier where I be surfing all the time, Holmes. Anyways, I love USAs, and my question is, where do I go for the most fire food in town? I know Adam and Kevin live in Missouri, so whatever the fuck you guys eat there, you know? Okay, bye. A tear for Presidente.
Athir getting some early love.
I love it.
In the Askel fam. Athir might be the winner for the offseason on the show.
For reals.
But great question. Best food for our local areas. What do we got?
Quick, call your San Diego.
Wait, no, I thought he was just asking you guys.
All of us, but he's like, fuck Missouri.
But well, he's the, like, yeah, Kevin and Allen are Missouri, answer so either cares, way. But
I'll take your answer. Way. I don't want it, but I'll take it.
So what's the best food in town there, Kyle?
I'm trying to look it up right now. I went to this. If you're looking for like nice restaurants down, like downtown San Diego in the Gaslamp has some incredible food.
Yeah.
There was this steakhouse that me and my wife went to that, good Lord, it was the best thing. Oh, it's called Huntress. It's this restaurant in Gaslamp called Huntress. And the steaks there.
Ooh, fancy.
Oh my God. They're incredible. So that would be my like fancy restaurant recommendation. But any Mexican food that you stumble upon is going to be good.
All right.
That's smaller the location, like size wise, the better the food is usually too.
Okay.
What's in Missouri, Kevin? Boys?
Yeah. What do we got here?
Wouldn't recommend the Mexican food at all. Wouldn't recommend.
Wait, no. What would you recommend?
I'm trying to think what I'd recommend. So there's a new restaurant. It's not as a restaurant I eat at a lot because I love it. It's called Hawaiian Brothers.
Yeah.
It's all about good. That teriyaki chicken bowl, some veggies. Yes. That shit good. But it's not unique to here. It's not like this awesome, come to Columbia, Missouri, have Hawaiian Brothers.
Eat at
it's
a all chain over, restaurant.
It's all over the country. They have this thing called, I know Adam doesn't like it, but they have these kind of famous hamburgers that have been around for like 70 years or something here called Booch's Burgers. It's in downtown Columbia. They make these little sliders that are pretty good.
I got to give them another shot. I'll give them, they get one more chance. But first time wasn't a splendid experience. Yeah. But I would say the one place that I've eaten here that, because I thought about this, I was like, where have I gone? Because there's been some good food, but I'm like, what is the best?
And
I
Buffalo think the, Wild Wings.
No, because again, I'm not going to throw out a
Wendy's,
chain.
McDonald's.
Stop it. The one place that I've been that I don't know if it's local to all of Missouri, because I'm looking at it on a map right now and it seems to only be in Missouri, but maybe it's other places across the country. I don't know. But it's called Papo's. And we've been there a couple times.
Oh, yeah.
Papo's
it's pretty pizzeria. Damn good. Yeah.
I really like that place. That's very
meatball
good
sandwiches.
The meatball sandwiches.
Delicious.
Everything about that place. It's not swanky. It's not Huntress or anything like that, but it's a good place to go. That's my favorite, personally. Yeah. Each their own. Different strokes for different folks.
That's right.
So there you go. Jim Harbaugh's burner account. Thank you for asking the question. Let's move it on now to Andrew Ramsey.
What's up, Drew?
Who asked the question?
Judge it, shit! I have a non-ass-to-mouth sewing question for you this week, baby! One! Why am I still worried Justin will still struggle for his lack of ability to grow with changing plays at the line and reading defenses, baby? Two, also, Athea, my love, my number two behind my best friend, Bolt Up Cat. You can't be number one for me because just like the Australian redback spider, the female eats the male spider, baby. However, I do want more of you. Coach's Corner with Kyle the Coach. Let me see you tear Staley's bitch-ass 2023 tape a new one, baby. Athea Kadir, the new Chargers King 2024. Send King Aiden back to grade school, baby. I want to see you shirtless in the front row, baby. Hell, maybe I'll even join you with my chafed nipples and hairy belly. Can't love you, bye, baby.
Oh, shit. Oh, shit, Andrew.
I'm telling you, dude, Athea.
He's
getting some love.
He's a crowd favorite. Wow.
All right, Athea, the gauntlet's been dropped. That game opener, you better be shirtless and swinging that shirt around.
I have a theory that Athea is just.
You have an a theory?
No. I have an a theory that this Athea is just an Adam Woldog Wooly burner account. And he's just.
No way.
He just pumps himself up and just talks shit to both of us the whole time and is creating division. And he's the one that's loved. This is weird. I don't like it. I don't trust you anymore. From now on, when you hear Athea's questions, see Adam's face. while he's reading it, and let me know if you think it makes sense. Because I think
I will say this: I have met the Aether,
the real Aether.
He's a real life boy. He's no strings on him, and he's real. He's real.
He's a real.
And he, I just love
as
him.
Real as raincoats.
It's the truth.
But the more I guess serious question that at least Andrew put in here. Still worried about Justin struggling for his lack of ability to grow the changing plays at the line and reading defenses. Are you worried?
I don't know if I've ever been worried about that. I don't know if that was what you would attribute to some of his like difficulties.
Yeah.
I think that lack of ability to grow with changing plays, like the poor guy's had four offensive coordinator or three in 4 years.
Yeah.
So I think he's also broken pretty much every record in that that span of time. So I think if anything, like he's adjusted incredibly to these different playbooks every year. Lack of, and then changing plays at the line. We don't know. Like we don't know how often he's changing plays at the line or
we've
how
heard him say kill, kill, kill before.
Or how hard his offensive coordinator is with you better not change that play at the line of scrimmage. You know, like, we don't. Yeah. There's so many factors going on there. Reading defenses, he doesn't struggle with reading defenses. I don't think that he struggles with reading defense. I think he struggles with time to get the ball where it needs to go based on that read. That's just my opinion.
No, I think I'm not worried about it.
I'm
either.
Also a Justin Herbert homer, so
I think a lot of those things will be solved if you got a new right tackle. He'll have plenty of time to evaluate the play, and when you give him time, amazing things happen. You've seen it yourself.
Crazy things happen, yes.
Yeah.
All right. Well, there you go. Andrew Ramsey, thank you for asking the question. Let's move it on now to the Chargers King of 2024, Aether Kadir.
Aether?
Kadir.
That's the question.
Judge and Chad! First! Kevin, I love you, my bro, always. Kyle, the coach, I also love you. Very happy, and I appreciate you always answering my questions, even if we don't agree, baby. But I'm sorry. I love my baby, Waldog, more than both of you. Baby! Now to my question. Coach, I need you to go first for a reason, baby. This is the question. Coach Harbaugh was in Baltimore. He saw the Ravens defense lost their emotions on defense versus the Chiefs and made stupid penalties, which led to an extra 3 points, baby. How important is it for Coach Harbaugh to have our defense unit keep their emotions under control when we play the Chiefs and not help them out with stupid penalties, baby?
Your face got really red on that one. That was awesome.
I love that. The way he worded that was so perfect. And the amount of emojis that Aether throws in this thing.
This is a shit ton of emojis.
I love it so much.
It's the best.
So good. All right. Now, Kevin, shut up. Kyle has to answer the question first. Coach Harbaugh. Defense. Emotions.
Yeah.
What do you think?
What do you think?
Go.
Well, for one, I think even with that emotional like outburst that the Ravens had, he's talking about the couple of personal fouls. Calvin Oy went and pushed a guy after the play. There's a couple of late hits that did cost them some yards for sure. The Ravens still should have won that game. Like the stupid mistakes that they had on offense. Right. I don't think you can attribute that whole loss to emotional outbursts, but as a general like overview, yeah, you have to play with composure and control. But if you're not playing with some fire, like that's when you get to that next level, is when you can use that like that passion and emotion while also having like a, okay, like we got to focus. I still have a job I have to do. I have to accomplish what it is. It was like today I was playing with my oldest son and his buddies, and Paxton, my oldest son, got popped a couple of times. He's six, and we were playing with 10-year-olds, and he was getting like pushed around a little bit. You know when you're playing two hand touch, but it's really like two hand
shove,
light your ass up, yeah. That's what had happened between the 10 and the 6-year-old. And I saw this switch flip in Paxton where it went from like, yeah, we're not playing funsies anymore. Like, I'm going to come after you. And so it's like, but at the same time, you have to have that emotion to play your best, but you can't let it boil over to getting penalties. So it is a very fine line because I feel like an emotionless team, you're going to get a C-level performance. It's going to be very average. You do your job, but you're not going to do anything out of the ordinary. If you can get that emotion and that excitement and that like passion to go alongside with it, you have to have it to be a top team like the Baltimore was all season long.
Right. Yeah, you got to have passion, but unchecked emotions or not having an awareness of like the situation.
Right.
Obviously leads to problems.
You also got to know when you play the Chiefs, you can't do anything. Yeah. Anything.
Uh-uh.
Or you're screwed.
You got to stay within the lines
and be prepared to be held all game, and it's not going to get called. So you got to dial up your stunts accordingly.
Yeah. Suck it up.
Yep. Plan accordingly. All right. Athir, thank you, buddy, for asking the question.
Athir Kadir.
And we go out of Ask Bolt Fan with Anthony Tony Francis, who asked the question.
Hey, Coach Kyle, I've been doing my best all week to stay in my lane, just like you instructed to all your assistant coaches on last week's podcast. However, I'm having a hard time staying on task due to my extreme ADHD. By the way, I'm still in shock about finding out that Adam's a sex pants of war dog. Kevin, give me a hug already, Duggan, and myself have been gently sitting under your coaching tree this whole time. We had no clue. Wow, 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 wow. My question is this. What advice would you give this week to all your current assistant coaches and coordinators to keep them motivated about what's to come? Can we expect any sort of big moves to be made this offseason by Coach Kyle? And if so, what would that look like for the podcast? P.S. You're right. Adam does have a sexy-ass radio voice, and Kevin is amazing at visual effects. Great hires. I love you. Bye.
I love that this has been like the narrative that started this offseason.
I don't think this is going to go anywhere.
Kyle is the mastermind.
Tony gets it.
It would be fun to just do one episode where we just relinquish responsibilities to just see what happens.
That's not the point, Kevin Duggan. You're still missing the point.
I like exercises. It'll be fun one, you know? Maybe.
That's not the point. That is not the point at all.
Sometimes you get disgruntled assistants, okay? It happens.
You guys should take offense to part of Tony's question. He said if there are going to be any big changes. You guys.
That's what I thought was really funny.
You guys are all Pro Bowl coaches that I hired as coordinators. There will be no changes. We're winning Super Bowls over here on this podcast. The Chargers might not be, but we're having fun and we are enjoying this. So there are no changes on my coaching staff. Thank you very much, Tony.
Well, you know, what would be funny, because we do almost every year do a mashup of all Charger podcasts getting together to do one big show. It would be funny to do like an April Fool's Day where some of the hosts kind of switch around, like
just switch different podcasts.
Kevin ends up on Locked On, and somehow I end up on Unleashed for some reason.
Yeah,
and
guilty as charged for Kyle.
And Kyle's hosting Charger Chat with those guys, so that would be kind of funny, I think, to switch it around. I hope you guys are listening. Throwing out gold here.
That would be an awesome April Fool's Day joke for sure.
Just to switch it around. Come on,
yeah.
Somebody sign a petition.
Let's get it going.
I don't like that.
You don't like that?
I got anxious thinking about that. I
don't just for one episode. Else. After that, we can go.
Because you might have to do some work.
You're still missing the point, dude. It's just shoo, shoo, shoo. That's why you're a great assistant. You don't get the big picture, Kevin.
Okay.
All
big
right.
picture.
But do you have any advice, any words of wisdom?
Oh yeah, words of wisdom to keep us all, to keep us motivated, Coach. Yeah.
Come on, Coach.
We're all taking a knee here.
Speech.
No, I'm not doing a speech. No. No, I'm not doing a speech. I hate that so much. I'm not doing the speech.
Okay.
You know what? What do you guys have to say? What do you think? This is a team game.
No.
I hired you guys.
We need a moment of a real head coach. I just need one speech.
No, I'm not giving a speech. That's not happening.
Pep talk.
You don't have to give a speech, but just pep talk. Tell us what we should be motivated. What's something that can keep us excited about this offseason with the Chargers, with the staff and everything like that? What's something that you can give to us to keep us motivated about the upcoming season for the Chargers?
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Obviously, it's a fresh start. everything is in front of us. There's going to be great changes. It's a fresh start. It's exciting. So stick in there, Tony.
Yeah.
Stay in your lane.
I might as well have been holding up a cue card.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
All right, here we go.
No, those are all great points.
The manufactured coaches, like, pump-up speech, I can't do that.
That's too cheesy.
It's too cringy. I can't just manufacture something. There has to be in-the-moment type of a deal. And, Tony, you're doing a great job. I'm really proud of you. Keep at it.
Assistant coach of the year right there. Tony Francis. Thank you, buddy.
Tony's looking at a promotion and you're new. You got an A. If we had an NFLPA for a podcast, you got an A for sure.
Let's go.
All right. There you go. Grades are being tossed out by Kyle, Coach Duggan. Tony Francis, thank you, buddy, for asking the question. And thank you, everybody, for asking questions this week in Ask Both Fam. But that's going to do it for us this week. Any final thoughts there, gentlemen?
Oh, I'm excited for some actual real Charger news here. Let's see if we make some moves and do some shit in the next 8 days or whatever it is.
We will find out. Yeah, that free agency window is going to be a lot of fun. But the one thing I want to shout out is a happy belated birthday to Senior Snappy, who's got the Rivers
happy
Lake Yacht
birthday,
Club.
Happy birthday, Senior Snappy.
Happy birthday, buddy. But that's going to do it for us here at Charger Chat, folks. Don't forget to bolt up because we're ready for any squad. Any place.
Okay, love you, bye.
Okay, love you, bye.
Okay, love you, bye, baby!
A Thier for president.
And now, a word from our sponsors.
When you think the rooms are bugged or the clocks are all out of whack, what do? Introducing the Harbaugh system. A proven system for you and anyone else whose name starts with the letter J. Why? Shut up! Sign up now and receive your own stopwatch, your very own polo, and of course, some signature khakis. Now you're ready for anything. As long as your name starts with the letter J, stop asking questions. Sure, everyone thinks you're crazy, but who cares? You got the Harbaugh system. Who's got it better than that? Unless your name starts with the letter J, then nobody. If it doesn't, go f*** yourself.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.